yeah, oh yeah, can I get a oh yeah, oh yeah, can I get a...
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Journey to Mastery. I have Patrick Burns with me. He is a LinkedIn dude, and we're going to talk about how that came about, why that came about. What are some of the things that Patrick discovered along his journey to master LinkedIn? So, Mr. Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing great, LZ. How are you?
I am fantastic. Before we get into any of the good stuff, I know my audience especially, because we live on LinkedIn, are chomping at the bit to start to talk about LinkedIn and how to, you know, how to get better at it. But before we get into any of that stuff, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh yeah. Bringing the energy. Okay.
So tell me a little bit about your journey. What are you working on these days that puts a smile on your face?
Well, I currently run a digital marketing agency. We primarily work with B2B companies, and we help them generate awareness and leads. And LinkedIn is our primary channel of growth. We also do stuff with email marketing, but I would say LinkedIn is our primary channel of growth. I've done that business since, it's almost been 8 years that I first started that business. I mean, I was kind of a solopreneur freelancer for quite some time, I would say until 2020. And then I started bringing on staff and additional support so we could scale with that.
Very cool. Why LinkedIn?
Well, I mean, I was on a bunch of platforms when I originally started my journey. And I was actually spending a lot of time on Instagram when I first started, because a bunch of marketing gurus and stuff were on Instagram. Okay, I got to be on there. And then I looked at my analytics and I was getting so much more traffic to my website from LinkedIn naturally. And I was spending 20x the time on Instagram. I'm like, well, why am I spending all this time on Instagram? And all these people are actually coming and visiting my website and converting into leads. And then for me, I thought, you know, I got really heavily into LinkedIn quite some time ago. I mean, it was about 2015, and I'd seen just an untapped platform compared to the other major platforms like Facebook and Instagram. So I'm like, well, this is not as competitive from what I see as these other platforms. And then you also can connect with like key decision makers. I mean, the quality of contacts that you can make through LinkedIn is far superior than Facebook and Instagram with the targeting aspects and all that. So I was naturally getting more traction. So I doubled down with it. It was less saturated and it was easier to connect with my exact prospects and actually get tangible business out of it.
Yeah. So did you find this for your personal business, and you decided that you wanted to help other businesses do that? Or how did the brand, you helping other businesses use LinkedIn, how did that come about?
Well, I mean, if we go back to the very beginning of my entrepreneur journey, I originally started working with a tech startup. It was like Uber for lawn care and snow removal. That was like the very first, you know, time I did entrepreneurship. I worked that company for about 4 to 5 months. I didn't have any equity and I was spending 80 to 100 hours like a week on that business. I'm like, I should probably just start my own thing if I'm going to put in that type of focus and commitment. And then I went to using a software to connect online personal trainers with clientele. It's like a platform. I did that business for about a year. I was naturally good at branding and marketing, but the other components, I was missing the mark with. I was still green as far as an entrepreneur goes. And I was trying to take a moonshot basically in the beginning of my career. Let's come up with this crazy new tech and let's change the game and make, you know, infinite amounts of money was, you know, the unicorn. I tried and swung and missed. So I'm like, well, let's do a more established type business where the market's mature and I know there's opportunity there guaranteed to get that cash flow and get stability. And then I could always go back to launching a new technology down the road. So that's kind of how I transitioned into having an agency.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the peaks of and valleys of learning LinkedIn. It's changed over the years. What are some of the things that you've learned about the platform throughout your journey of mastering it?
Well, it's a lot more saturated now than it used to be. So you have to have way better content, and you have to be way more clever and unique on how you engage prospects. A big part of what I do is run outbound campaigns where I'm actually directly messaging prospects and getting them interested enough to get on a call and close those deals. And before, I didn't have to be too clever on how I wrote the copy or how I frame that. Now I have to be an absolute expert to cut the noise because there's so many other people that are blowing up people's direct messages. So I guess just the level of competition, leveling up my ability on copywriting as well as content has been paramount to stay in the game with the platform. As opposed to when I started, it was easy no matter what. I mean, it was like shooting fish in a barrel because not many people were on it as much.
Got it. So what sort of resources, trainings have you leveraged to level up? I heard you say one of the ways that you are standing out is you're leveling up. Two-part question. How did you recognize that? And what steps did you take to say, hey, I need to level up in these areas and here are the resources I need to gather in order to do that?
Yeah. I mean, as far as the content goes, I was being really lean with our content as far as production costs and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, if we got to make higher quality content if we really want to give value and stand out in the marketplace. So just hiring on, independent contractors that can help me with video content or blogs, etc., as well as getting on podcasts. That was a channel I was on a couple, but I wasn't really utilizing that channel. I'm like, oh, well, I already have an audience built up. I could leverage this to help other entrepreneurs, that have podcasts and give them attention back. So, and then leveraging different tools as far as copywriting goes. I mean, one tool that's been really helpful for me in writing copy, it's actually called Lavender AI. And it's basically a copywriting coach where it's specifically made for doing sales type messages to prospects. It's made for email, but it can be applied to LinkedIn. And it helps you frame the communication in a way that's going to get the highest response rate. Because no matter what company it is or what offer it is, the frameworks are still the same. You just have to change the brand voice and the value prop a little bit for that specific product or service.
Got it. So Patrick, I don't want you to give away the farm, but what are some of the things that as entrepreneurs are thinking about how to do outbound? What are some things that we should be thinking about?
I mean, if you're doing any outbound, you definitely want to use LinkedIn Sales Navigator because the targeting is absolutely hands down much better. I mean, you can get so granular with the targeting on these prospects and collecting intel on them. Like, I mean, I can target a specific company headcount, specific annual revenue. I could target the growth in a certain division of that company, and then I can make that communication really tailor-made specifically to that prospect because I have a lot more intelligence with that when I'm doing outreach, as well as it has its own CRM system that makes it so much easier to manage your communication with prospects because you can actually, I have all these different types of outreach campaigns for different objectives, and I can save people in these individual categories, and it makes it so much more efficient for me to manage my inbox. That's key because trying to sift through your messages, I mean, I used to do it back in the day where I'd sift through and, scroll all the way down, send a message, scroll up and try to find those. It's like, it's way more efficient using that tool.
Got it. What are some of the things you don't like or some of the challenges that you've had as you've gotten to grow on the platform?
They're being more restrictive as far as the overall activity that you can do, which any social media platform is going to do that. They're going to give you, originally they'll give you a bunch of organic reach that you can do a lot more activity per day. And they keep pushing that down because eventually they're going to want you to do more paid stuff with that. So that's made it just challenging as far as just output of like how many people I can connect with, how many messages I can send. So I have to drive way deeper engagement per contact that I'm reaching out to. I mean, I want to view their profile, follow their profile, like their content, endorse their skills. I want to do a bunch of activities to really be on the radar per contact because I'm limited on the overall volume. As well as, I mean, it kind of works. It's great for early creators, but it actually hurts older creators because LinkedIn is favoring smaller, like micro creators that have less followers. They're actually pushing their content up on the algorithm to get more visibility. And once you hit a certain threshold of followers, it starts to actually get a little suppressed. So it kind of could, I mean, it's great news for people just starting that they could get, you know, a lift with that, but it makes it more challenging for me because I'm actually getting a little suppressed because I've already built up such an audience with that.
Yeah. So what are some of those, as of the recording today, what are some of those things? Like how many connector requests can we send? How many inbounds? Like what are some of the rules today?
Well, you can send up to 200 connection requests per week with it. Now with Sales Navigator, another thing is it gives you the ability to send out in-mail messages, which an in-mail is basically a message that you can send second or third degree connections. So you're not even actually connected with them, but you can send them a message and it has a subject line that's kind of like an email. They give you a certain amount of credits per month with that, which it changes. I think it's 50 to 100 per month with that. But you can actually get more credits if you reach out to specific profiles. So if a LinkedIn member is a premium user and they have an open profile means they're open to receive communication from somebody outside of their network. Okay. And I can find that information through Sales Navigator if they have that turned on that feature. That allows me to send up to 800 in-mails a month as opposed to 50 to 100. So I'm getting a lot more volume of doing that.
Got it. Cool. What are some of the things that we should not do? You know, we're business owners, we're entrepreneurs. We want to, you know, generate sales, generate interest. What are some no-nos?
Really comes down to the copy. A lot of times I see business owners give too much information in their messages. It's like way too informative. It's like a novel. They're writing it way, and nobody's going to read that, especially if they're a stranger. They don't even know you. Why are they going to take the time to read this long of a message and they don't know what the value is to them? So making your messaging very short and concise and value-driven is absolutely paramount because everybody has shorter attention spans. And then the next thing is you're basically, I mean, when you're communicating with a prospect, you're not talking really anything about you. It's about them. I mean, you really got to focus on their problems and how you can be a solution to get them to this result. And I always go back to this, whether it be in marketing or sales, we have to take this prospect. We have to make them completely aware of their current state and then what their future state will be with using our solution and take them through that journey. Because if they can understand the actual impact and the before and after this journey, they're going to be more likely to respond and want to learn more about it.
Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit more about your business specifically and how you guys help.
Well, we specifically work with B2B models, so business-to-business models, because LinkedIn is the best platform for B2B. If we were doing B2C, I would focus on Facebook. I would focus on those other channels because it's better for the general consumer market. We primarily work with technology companies, SaaS, IT services, those type of companies, but we also work with service-based business models. So any professional type service that's B2B, because I can apply a lot of the principles that we've used in our agency to that business. So those are the two. It's like tech and professional services with it. And as I said, there's basically two things that we do for them. So we'll help them develop and run their outreach for them, okay, with lead generation. So we'll take a personal profile, we'll optimize it, and we'll run campaigns for them. And then when a prospect responds back, then they'll take over that communication, nurture it, and close business. Okay. We also have a service. This is a bit more greenfield, but it's to grow your LinkedIn company page. So a lot of people, I've spent a lot more time on my personal profile than my company page profile, because it's so much easier to grow your personal profile versus a company page. You have to spend a lot on paid advertising, can get really expensive with that. But with our service, basically what we do is we'll identify specific keywords that are relevant to that company's value proposition, the prospects they're wanting to engage with, and then we'll find content with those keywords in it, and then we'll engage with that content on behalf of that company. So if somebody, like, let's say I work, you know, with a lot of tech companies, and somebody makes a post about software or SaaS, I will engage with that underneath Patrick Burns Co. So that's going to cause that user to go check out my company page, interact with it, follow it. And as people go through the feed, they're going to keep seeing my branding come up that I'm engaging with this relevant content. And that's going to cause other users to go check out the company page, interact with it, follow. So it makes followers, content engagement go up, website traffic, and you can actually get inbound leads from it. And it helps too, because if I reach out to you on my personal profile and you cross-reference my company page, if that isn't optimized and I barely have any traction with that, that could really hurt the conversion rate. They're like, oh, well, this profile, his personal profile is nice, but his company page like doesn't look legit with that. So it's good to have both of those.
Got it. So are company pages the thing?
They're untapped. I mean, they need to be more of a thing because I feel like they're underutilized. I think they're both valuable, especially, I mean, for bigger companies too. I'm sick because, I mean, we'll work with some companies that are mid-market to enterprise type companies. They really should have their employees kind of be micro-influencers because that's going to help them build credibility, authority, and thought leadership and be really personable. But then they also should build up that company page because that's their own entity. So no matter if somebody stays or goes, they still have that company page, all those followers that they can pull from, you know, to stay top of mind in the market. So I really would say to do both. But when I look at a company page, I'm really looking at it as a brand building thing. I'm not looking at it as lead generation. A personal profile is lead generation, but a company page is just overall awareness and brand building and followership.
Got it. That makes sense. Cool. What else? What else can we share with the folks to give them information and some education on LinkedIn and how to master it?
We could get into the content strategy of what to post, like, you know, what formats work well, what don't work well. For me, I like to have balance between my content. So some content is more emotional and it might be kind of surface level, but it has potential to go really viral. Okay, with that. So I'll make posts that are more high level or emotional type content to get a lot of engagement and to drive favorability of my content on the algorithm. But then also I want to make posts that show I'm a thought leader and expert in my domain. So I'll go way deeper and educate the audience and give value that way. So I'm making some content that's way more emotional and viral, and then I'm making other content. It might get less engagement overall, but people that engage are really interested specifically on what we do and how we do it, and, you know, my thought leadership with that. So I think you need to have a real balance between that. You got to hit on the emotions, but you also need to educate your audience as well.
Got it. So what's next? What's next for the company? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I mean, we went through a rebrand in Q3, end of Q3. Then we ran Q3 and Q4 was an interesting time because we went through a rebrand, and Q4 always kind of slows down with us because these are B2B companies and they stop budget around the end of the year, but then they'll be aggressive in January and Q1. So we have a ton of momentum coming into this year. We kind of went through a refresh of our branding, our packaging and all that stuff. But now we have all that aligned or being super aggressive with that. I'm really looking to push the company so I can get to a certain level of growth and do mergers and acquisitions of other companies, because, you know, the probability of being successful with your own startup is very low, which I'm already there. I've achieved that, but I'm saying it's very low to do that. The odds are in your favor, but acquiring a company that already has established brand processes, it has customers, it has all that developed. All you have to do is just run it and optimize it to hit the next level, and you have a higher chance of success. And it makes it easier for us to extend our customer base, because I could buy a company, like, let's say I buy a company that does graphic design, because we don't really focus on graphic design. I can get all those customers and then I could cross sell them. I could be like, well, you know, now that we've acquired this company, our company focuses on lead generation. So do you want help with our core service, and then cross pollinate this? So making the moves to mergers and acquisitions is like my North Star goal with it, to take us to the next level of growth.
Got it. Very cool. Man, time flies. So if people want to get in touch with you, learn more about what you do, or if they just want to say hi, how can they do that?
You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Patrick Burns. My company's Patrick Burns Co. I know, not that clever creative, but it is what it is. Or you can reach out to me by email. It's hello@patrickburns.co.co.
Very cool, man. Well, I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I get a oh, yeah?